Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to the Word of God through Jesus Christ, Street and Outreach Radio broadcast. This is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr., and this morning we have a very powerful show. I'd just like to ask you to stay tuned, and while the Lord is leading me to open up with prayer, I'd just like to ask you to go to Mark chapter 9 in your Bible, Mark chapter 9. It doesn't matter which translation you're using, whichever one you have, or whichever one is easier for you, grab that one. Mark chapter 9. And while you're doing that, I'm going to read the description of the lesson, as is our custom to do. The prince of the power of the air, the king of death, the ruler of the darkness of this world, the deceiver, the tempter, the father of lies, the thief. These are just some of the names of Satan. He is always up to no good. Jesus never said one good thing about Satan, but instead he exposed him. If Jesus wasn't nice to the devil, then why are we trying to be nice to him? If the child of God is not careful, the devil will lure you out of the Christian faith. If the man or the woman of God is not careful, the devil will throw you off of your post. The enemy is not to be played with. He is very dangerous. Under the Godhead, Lucifer was the most powerful creature that God made. Scripture tells you that. When he became Satan, he became twice as bad as he was good. He lies every time he says something. He steals every chance that he gets. He hates the Christians. He wants to corrupt the ministers. He wants to infiltrate the ministry. Saints, we are in a serious battle, a serious spiritual battle here. The Holy Ghost gave us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and with it, you got to guard your stuff. Don't play with him. Don't play with the enemy. Because apart from Jesus Christ and with no protection from Jesus Christ, you will lose. Grab your Bibles and pens and papers and let's delve into the Word of God and feast. Again, grab Mark chapter 9 and let's open up with prayer before we touch the Word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, asking you to forgive us for all of our sins and shortcomings and our faults and for our wrongs. We thank you, O Lord, for the way you have called us and chosen us and ministered to us and poured yourself into us. We thank you, Lord, for the way you watch over us as we slumber and sleep. Thank you, Lord, for the way you meet our need. Thank you for the way you protect us. Thank you for the way you raise up a standard against the enemy, and that standard is the Word of God. We just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be used by you to feed your sheep, and I ask that you feed me as well. Please, Father, her glory. Whilst another's thou art calling, do not pass me by. I'm crying, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Please, Father, don't pass me by. Minister to me and feed me as well. Make us usable and use us. Fill us with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and give us a spiritual understanding of your word. And we just thank you for hearing us. Satan, we rebuke you. We plead the blood of Jesus against you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God, for throwing your weight around. Deliver your people this morning. Answer their questions. Feed him your word. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Amen. and amen. Well, brethren, again, Mark chapter 9 is where God would have us to be right now. And I will say to you, after the broadcast, you can call for prayer, 203-745-8162. You may need it, because some of you are going through some things, saith the Lord, that he want to deliver you from. Some of you are experiencing things that you don't know how to come out of it, and God wants to minister to you and bring you out. Before the Lord lead me to read to you the thought of this lesson and the title, let's read the scripture. Mark chapter 9 is where the Lord have us, and we're going to read verses 14 through 29. And it reads on this wise. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. I'm in the King James Version. And the scribes questioning with them. Thank you. The Lord told me, go into the Living Bible. I'm going to do that. So that way we can just hear it plain English. There's a time for deepness. And let's just read Mark 9, 14 through 29 in the Living Bible. Praise the Lord. At the bottom of the mountain, they found a great crowd surrounding the other 9 disciples. As some Jewish leaders argued with them, the crowd watched Jesus in awe as he came toward them and then ran to greet him. What's all the argument about? He asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son for you to heal. He can't talk because he is possessed by a demon. And whenever the demon is in control of him, it dashes him to the ground and makes him foam at the mouth and grind his teeth and become rigid. So I begged your disciples to cast out the demon, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to his disciples, Oh, what tiny faith you have! How much longer must I be with you until you believe? How much longer must I be patient with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. But when he saw Jesus, the demon convulsed the child horribly, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has he been this way? Jesus asked the father. And he replied, Since he was very small. And the demon often makes him fall into the fire or into water to kill him. Oh, have mercy on us and do something if you can. If I can, Jesus asked, anything is possible if you have faith. The father instantly replied, I do have faith. Oh, help me to have more. When Jesus saw the crowd was growing, he rebuked the demon. Oh, demon of deafness and dumbness, he said, I command you to come out of the child and enter him no more. Then the demon screamed terribly and convulsed the boy again and left him, and the boy lay there limp and motionless, to all appearance dead. A murmur ran through the crowd. He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up and was all right. Afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, Why couldn't we cast that demon out? Jesus replied, Cases like this require prayer. Now, I want to read that last verse, verse 29, out of the King James. It says, And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The thought that God gave me when he was giving me this lesson is called Guard Your Stuff. The title that God gave me was Satan Knows That God Is Trying to Give You Something. That's why he's trying to steal it. Father, in Jesus' name, you got 20 minutes to feed your sheep. I'm asking that you make this lesson deep yet simple, simple yet deep, and feed all of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A lot of times people have no problem misusing scripture. A lot of times the right scripture is used in the wrong context, and then there's times that the wrong scripture is used at a time when the right scripture needs to be used. Unless a person sits before the Holy Ghost, thank you, Jesus, I hear you, they will not know what scripture to use, when, or how. These disciples, they pulled Jesus aside afterwards, and they said, why could not we cast him out? Because when Jesus came up to the scenery, to the scenario, he saw the people standing there, a great multitude around his disciples, and the scribes were questioning them. And they were asking them, what's wrong, man? I thought you were powerful. You walk with Jesus. You're a disciple. You're an apostle. And when Jesus walked up, the people saw him coming, and when they saw him, they said, never mind the disciples, and they ran to Jesus. And when they went to him, they saluted him. And he, Jesus, asked the scribes, and the scribes were the people that wrote the law. They wrote. A scribe is like if you have a word from God and you say, I want to write a book, and you tell a scribe, take down what I'm telling you to say and just write what I tell you to say. So the scribes, they were writers. And it's powerful when he said, what question you with them? Because the scribes were writers of the law. They were teachers of the law. So it wasn't odd for them to be asking the disciples questions, because the scribes have some knowledge of the written word. He said, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now that's a demon, a dumb spirit, meaning his son was mute. He couldn't talk. And wheresoever he taketh him, meaning that spirit, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away, meaning as if he was dead. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now notice this man acknowledged that his son had a dumb spirit. And then in verse 19 it says, Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? There's a lot of people that say, well, as a minister, you need to be patient. As a minister, you shouldn't say to a person, how long is it going to take you to get this? Or how long? People will call you not compassionate when you respond like that. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, yet I'm glad to tell you the truth. But that's what Jesus did. He said to them, how long do I got to stay here with you? I mean, when are y'all going to get it? When are you going to get it? Then he said, bring the boy to me. Just bring him to me. And they brought him onto him, and when that boy saw him, straightway that demon that was in the boy started throwing him around, because no demon could stand in the presence of Jesus Christ and just be himself. It won't work. On one end, it won't work, meaning he can't be calm and relaxed and cool and at ease. Not when a demon is standing before Jesus Christ. When a demon is in the presence of God, he's going to act up. He's going to act a fool. He gonna bug out. Sure is. So it's hard to understand how a demon possessed person, or a demon period, can walk up in the ministry and be comfortable and sit right there in the pew. Something's wrong with that picture. Because if you really walk with God like you say, no demon will feel comfortable around you. Family members treat you as though you're the oddball because you're the one that follows the Lord, and they don't. There's a lot of people that will not deal with you because you follow the Lord. People will tell you, man, you are too high. Or, sister, why you got to be a holy roller? Again, like the Lord led me to say in a previous broadcast, the word holy roller is not in the Bible. But we are to be heaven bound. Jesus said, unless a man take up his cross and follow him, he cannot be his disciple. He's not worthy of being his disciple. So we have to deny ourselves that we may follow Jesus Christ. The demon was throwing this boy all over the place. And now imagine this. You got to see this in the spirit if you can. While this demon was throwing this boy around, I could see Jesus all calm, looking at the boy's father, verse 21. And he said, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Again, catch this. The demon is throwing the boy all over the place. And Jesus just looking at this boy being thrown all over the place. And then casually and calmly looks at the boy's father and says, how long have you been going through this? I mean, look at this. This is outrageous. How long have you been going through this? Jesus already knew it, but again, this is written so that we can drain some knowledge from this text. This was already preordained. Remember that. And the man said to Jesus, ever since he was a child, and oftentimes that demon cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. The man was telling him, my son don't get no rest. He's just thrown all over the place. He just have these fits. He just be bugging out. And then he said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, this is so powerful. You got to catch this. In verse 24, it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Now that's powerful. That's humble. We need to learn to admit, Lord, I don't got it all figured out. Okay, I heard what you said. You said to go forth. You said to do this. You said to do that. You said to be a good husband. You said to be a good wife. You said to be a good child. You said to be a good father. You said to be a good mother. You told me to stand up for righteousness, but Lord, I don't know how to do that. The man said, I believe, but what strengthen me in the areas that I don't believe? Help my faith to become stronger. In verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. Now, this is deep. This is a lesson on demonology right here. The man mentioned one spirit. He said, my son had a dumb spirit. But Jesus rebuked the foul, saying unto him, unto the foul spirit, thou dumb and deaf spirit. So now Jesus didn't just mention one spirit. He talked to one demon and addressed the other two that worked for this one. The foul spirit was a territorial demon that sat over this man's life to make sure he ain't have no peace. And the dumb spirit is the one that stopped him from talking so he couldn't cry out for help. And the deaf spirit stopped him from hearing so that he couldn't hear the word of deliverance. That's why Jesus went right to the root and talked to that foul spirit. He talked to that territorial spirit and said, you, to the foul spirit, you. And then he talked to his voice, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. Now, when Jesus said that, when he said come out, the demon had to leave. And when he said enter no more, that means that demon could not go back. Why? Because the word of the Lord was a standard. Do not go back in this man. So that man was free after that. And the spirit cried and rent him sore. That means tore that boy to pieces and came out of him. A lot of you are praying, asking God to change things in your life. You're asking God to put things in order. And instead of things getting better immediately, it seems like it's getting worse. But that's only because that demon knows he got to let go. If your marriage is in trouble and you've been praying, remember this, it's getting ready to get better. If God has put a woman in your life, and this is the wife he has for you, and that woman is not listening to the word of the Lord, but she got her own agenda as to what type of, you know, because sometimes we judge things according to the flesh. Some women say, oh, no, I want a man 6 feet tall. I want a man with big arms, big legs, and a big chest, and this and that. You done gave God your checklist instead of asking him for his. But when you learn to ask him for his, and God, and then you hear God say, the husband I got for you, he's on your way. And God may not give you the physical description, but instead give you the spiritual description. He will be able to carry you. He'll be able to pray for you. He will love you. He will care for you. He will not abuse you. He won't fight you. You won't be cursed at. You won't be cheated on and none of that. The husband I got for you, I'm sending him, and he's going to love you the way I've taught him to love you. All you should say is, yes, Lord, and begin to praise him. Thank you, Jesus. But for a minute, you may go through an extreme season of loneliness. And that's because that demon knows that God is trying to bless you. Us men of God, the Lord may have told us your wife is on her way, and God may have described her spiritually, and we are not to veer off from what God revealed to us. We can't tell God, well, I want her to be built this way or that way, or to have this kind of hair or that kind of hair. I want her to look this complexion or that. We can't do that. I want her to be paper thin or pencil thin, or I want her to be very fulfilling. We can't give God our checklist. His name is not Santa Claus. Santa Claus is a fictitious character, and God is ever so real. But we need to hear God when he gives us the spiritual description, because he is a spiritual God. So he's going to give us the inward description. Why? Because if he gave us the outward description, as soon as we see what looks like what God said, we'll jump on it. But when God gives us the spiritual description, catch this revelation, y'all, it takes discernment to see that which is spiritual. Glory to God. The devil knew he had to let this man go. And this demon threw the boy all over the place, and then everything was quiet and peaceful, as though the boy was dead. In so much that everyone around him said, oh my goodness, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. That's not the first time we read where Jesus grabbed somebody by the hand. Remember when the Lord told Peter to come, and Peter walked on the water, began to sink, the Lord lifted him up. Sometimes we need God to lift us up. Sometimes we can't lift ourselves up. It's even hard sometimes to encourage ourselves. We need the Lord to touch our life. We need the Lord to touch our heart. We need the Lord to touch our minds and coat our mind with his hand, and then put on the helmet of salvation so we can remember, I'm saved. It's so much that these disciples did not know. That's why they were in training, which is another point to make. Thank you, Lord. God said, go forward. In verse 28, and when he was come up into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? They were saying, Lord, why we couldn't do that? We done walk with you. We done watched you. We done listened. Why didn't we do that? And then Jesus took them up a notch. He said unto them, this kind. Now, here's where people get this wrong. They get this wrong all the time. Oh, wow, I'm going through so much in my life. I don't know what to do. Well, you know, Jesus said that this only come out by fasting and praying. And they throw that scripture on everything. But that's not what he said. He said, this kind. What kind, Lord? This territorial demon, the territorial one, the one that, listen, the her glory, listen, y'all, the one that's sitting over your circumstance, that no matter how much you pray, it seems like nothing is changing. That's a territorial demon. The one that's sitting over your family, no matter how much you minister the word of God to your family, they're not changing because it's a territorial demon. It don't seem like nothing is going to change, but you got to understand something. This kind, this territorial kind. Sometimes you're broken because of things that happened in your past, and you've been trying to get free, and you don't know how to put the cigarettes down. You don't know how to put the weed down. You don't know how to leave the alcohol alone. You don't know how to stop cussing. You just don't. You've been trying, but then the devil sends people around you. That's where you're trying to come from and leave, but they're still there, and they come around you, and then that old you start acting up. Why? Because this kind, this territorial demon only comes out by nothing, no other way, but by prayer and fasting. Our Father, which I, that's a model, a method of prayer. That's a way of prayer, but prayer theologically is a conversation with God. Now, most of you know, and those that don't, you're going to hear it now, a conversation is two-sided. You talk to someone, they listen. Then they respond, and you listen. It's called conversing. That's a conversation. You converse. You go back and forth. And when we, when the Lord said this time, this kind only comes out by nothing but by prayer, he said by a conversation with God. And fasting, which is denying yourself. Some people say, well, that's how I lose weight. I go on a fast. Honey, if that's the case, that's not a fast. If you're losing weight, it's called a diet. That's not a fast. A fast is when you deny yourself something or someone that means so much to you, your natural self, your emotions, your desires. When you neglect yourself so that your spirit can connect with God. If you like M&M's, give them up. It don't matter how long, you can fast for an hour. Give up the M&M's. If you're married and you just love intimacy, making love all the time to your spouse, give that up for a minute. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it actually does say this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Scripture says, let me go back to verse 3. Let me go to verse 1. Now, concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, this is what Paul said to the brothers at Corinth. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. He owes her. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. She owes him. Don't deny her. Make love to her. And she need to make love to you. That's due because you're married. If you was not married and you was touching each other, that's fornication. But since you got these desires, get married so that way you can be as intimate as you want to be. And Scripture says, again, verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, what you owe her, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power of her own body but the husband, and likewise also the husband has not power over his own body but the wife. Then it says, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And Paul said in verse 6, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. So he's saying it's not a commandment, but God is allowing me to share this with you, that the only time you should prevent being intimate is when you're fasting and praying. So when you're fasting, you deny yourself. But then when you're married, you're giving up being intimate, you know, the enemy will start using you to fantasize about somebody else, or he'll start trying to attack your flesh and your desires. Come back together again to be intimate. Break the fast, go ahead and be intimate, get it over with, and then go back to fasting. Paul was saying this by permission. So Jesus said, this kind come forth or come out by nothing or by no other way but by prayer and fasting. Because you need to connect with God in order to cast this demon out. The reason Jesus didn't have to fast right here at this particular time, because he was God. He always got to the root of a problem. And that's why he gave me this title. He said, God, the thought was gorgeous stuff. The Lord has blessed you. He's given you an anointing. Guard it. He's given you a desire to minister for him. Guard it. He's given you the anointing to sing, the anointing to pray, the anointing to teach, the anointing to preach. Guard your anointing, because if you don't, the enemy is going to try to drain it from you. He was sent a territorial demon to sit over your life with the intent of making sure that by the time you're finished with, that he done stole, he done killed, and he done destroyed. All three. A threefold ministry, which the word ministry means service. The devil got a bad ministry, a terrible one. It's a bad news ministry. And it consists of stealing and killing and destroying. He don't want you to be standing when he finished. But you got, God said, guard your stuff. Guard your anointing. Guard your marriage. Guard your vision. Guard your mission. Guard the ambition. Guard the itinerary. Guard the things God telling you. Guard the word he sent to you. Guard the message he sent you through the dream. Guard the vision that he gave you while you was just sitting there minding your own business. Guard your stuff. And then the title was, Satan knows that God is trying to give you something. That's why he's trying to steal it. In the case of this boy, what God was trying to give him was peace of mind, and the devil was trying to steal it. Territorial demon sitting over the boy's life, and sent the foul spirit to make sure that wickedness went on in his life, and the dumb and deaf spirit so he couldn't ask for help or hear the word of deliverance. But God became a man and walked this earth. And out of all the divine appointments that he set in the New Testament beforehand, one of them was to meet that young man right there. And when he walked away, the boy was in his right mind. 30, it says that they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it about where he went. That's another thing. When God used you to do a miracle, when he used you to pray for somebody, when he used you to cast a demon out of somebody's life, get out of the area. Leave. Don't stand there because you feel like you want to be recognized. When people say, oh, you really preach, don't say thank you because you can't take the glory. When God used you to sing and people say, oh, my goodness, you tore that song up, don't say thank you. Say, to God be the glory because he gave you the voice. When God used you to pray, and somebody said, oh, you really touched me with that prayer, don't say thank you, because the Holy Ghost gave you the words to say. Remember, Scripture says in Romans 8, for we know not what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, meaning they can't be put in the natural words. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for this lesson. We thank you for feeding us. Oh, Lord, just give you the glory, the thanks, and the praise. Bless my wife to come forth so you can use her to pray for me during times like this, when this anointing has went through me and the work you've anointed me to do on this particular broadcast, at this particular moment, has been done. Father, thank you for everything. We love you, and we ask that you help us to show you we do. And again, let us ponder this word that you sent this morning. Thank you for not passing us by. We love you, and we ask that you watch over us as we slumber and sleep, and wake us up tomorrow in the morning, this morning, with a praising and praying spirit. And for those that you send shopping this morning, give them sense with dollars, S-E-N-S-E, sense with dollars, that they be wise and not blow what you give them to share or spend. In Jesus' name we thank you, we pray, amen. God bless you, saints. God bless you. And take care.